This is John Hill, and you are tuning in to An Agile Mindset.
Good day, everyone. I am here with Dr. João DeSalvo, the CEO of Agile Donkey over in Munich, Germany. He is a fellow Agile coach as well as Agile marketing practitioner. So welcome, João. Thank you for coming and having a conversation with me today.
Hi, John. My pleasure being invited by you. Long time no see.
Yes. Yeah. It's been a while since we got back in touch. And luckily we have this technology that allows us to communicate halfway around the world.
Yeah, that's true. That I kind of am very interested through these times in terms of how the relationship in terms of social traits are going to be changing for the future. So eager to see what comes.
That is going to be a big question, whether or not companies are going to maintain this remote work or how people, like you said, have their relationships now with all this social distancing.
Yeah, there definitely is something to keep looking at, but time will tell. So yes, you got to be patient on that one.
So I wanted to ask you, we're having a conversation and I wanted to know more about the cognitive neuroscience applied with lean thinking and agile methods. Can you explain what that is and why is it important?
Yeah, usually I kind of get that questions a lot in terms of basically for my CV. So starting as a doctor and then going into marketing and then applying into lean as a consultant. So that's quite a mouthful, all right? But to make it quite simple, most of the decisions currently going within the agile realm, if you want to put it in that terms, and with lean, comes with certain assumptions. Those assumptions are typically based within system thinking, in this integral, holistic type of approach, whereas dependencies and shares and other type of things might cause delay in order towards exponential delivery and other type of things, which actually are the main course of Agile. Mm-hmm. Though there are other, let's say, unseen factors behind that might tip and tilt the outcomes quite a lot. And I might even put under constraint the word outcomes, because this is the main, let's say, focus in terms of performance for lean and more in terms of agile with OKRs and those type of things. But there are a lot of things misunderstood from a mathematical and a statistical approach. And that is where cognitive science kicks in. So just to make it simple, Dave Snowden has this Kinevin type of model, and just to talk it very easy, Agile usually focus in terms of outcomes, right? So you have a goal and you prepare the environment, the teams, and the structure towards aligning into, let's say, delivering towards that goal in a fast pace, maintaining value, right?
Right. And I think, that's really huge, because companies now and then, they still focus on the output and the processes and trying to be more efficient, but not really so much as the outcome.
True that. And there's a problem on that matter, actually. So the question here is what it's considered as obvious. And the obvious becomes the main problem, because it's the biggest issue in terms of impact. So let's put it in an example. Mm-hmm. Let's say that you're consulting, so you move from place to place, right? So you get along quite oftenly. Let's say that you are in the hotel and you have foreseen and scheduled your agenda because you need to go to the airport, let's say in by 7 p.m. and it's currently 9 a.m. So you assume that maybe you can call an Uber or some sort of shared type of mobile by 1 p.m., then you can make it quite straightforward.
Right.
And you are already disregarding buses or any other type of public transportation because the agenda and the schedule just won't fit. So you are focusing on this type of solution towards achieving your outcome. That will be your OKR, let's say, in the very short time frame. Now, what happens if it starts raining and you get your mobile connection down and there's no taxi whatsoever and you get pissed off and it's already, a quarter prior to, so you're already reaching your deadline. There's a time frame that you cannot surpass, or otherwise you will compromise your agenda. And by the way, that is in order to get to a client for a big account. So you have a lot of pressure in terms of trusting and accountability and other type of things. So you start doing what the agile or lean world tell you. So okay, let's go a root analysis. Let's start decomposing everything and going to why. And then you start looking, why didn't I check this? Why didn't I put this? Why didn't I check on that one or other and other? Bottom line here, everything is a negative. That means that your entire focus is on the solution that under your perception, on your reality, and on your experience and knowledge is the right solution. Now, there are two questions here to be raised. And I'm going to take you into another metaphor. Let's say that, do you have any sport that you like?
Oh, you know I love soccer. I think that's the sport of the world.
Okay, so let's say that you are almost getting into the other goalkeeper area and you're like straightforward to go and shoot. But now Messi is coming along with Roberto Carlos in front of you. And if you go in a straight line, you're pretty much done. So what other solutions you might get without taking under consideration you moving the ball? And let's say that everything goes now. So for instance, you could be carried by someone and someone else would be triangulating the ball while you just go around and then you surpass these guys and you can kick it. Another way, if it would be possible, you can dig down and then you can come up. Another one would be that someone will pick you, lift you with an helicopter and drop you after these guys and then you can go. So let's say like this, within the rules of engagement in this type of game, it doesn't apply, but there are many other ways. Now, taking that back to the guy you going into the airport, everything is within taking a cab to go into the airport. But having this analogy in place, you could think in terms not from the structure that you already saw, but broader. So you need to diverge your brain a little bit, is your emotion, in order to let the other solutions rise. And maybe you could see that in terms of flow, something comes in, something gets processed, and something gets out, right? So that's right. Basically like a service. So in terms of the perspective from the business of having and driving a cab, so usually they need people in order to have the transaction, right? So right. Where does this usually happen? Disregarding calling by Uber or any mobile device. It could be maybe in social areas, parks, shopping malls. Maybe there's a station for a train or a subway, and probably that is 2 blocks away from you or even 1 mile. So if you walk there, you might get the likelihood quite increased in terms of the probability of getting a cab and then going straight forward to the airport. But if you just stick to your problem and from there looking into the solution, you will never figure that out. So cognitive science, what it does is to break everything down, lower the intensity of the emotion so that you get focus and many other things and the solution come naturally. But the trick here is to shut down your consciousness so your subconscious takes charge. That's basically it. And in terms of the outcome implies that there's one thing that you want to accomplish. In this case, that's the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, this only applies as an A to B Newtonian theory type of thing, so a cause-effect approach. But when it gets complicated, when it gets very much more structured, or there are a lot of things that make the relationships towards the outcome more difficult, like for instance, people or organizations or services, then you cannot fix one outcome. You need to escalate that into a mathematical approach and think of an average of potential solutions in a goal directness state. So it will be very nice to be in this area. And you need to change the way that you approach. Now, what is tricky here is that most of the methods and frameworks within Agile and Lean are based only on the specific A to B thing, where you need the right amount of training, the right amount of resources, the right amount of environment and structure around it. And with all that given, then we are pretty sure that you will make the right decision. So a self-empowering high-performance team. But if the environment doesn't comply with those, it will never change. And the problem is that you keep looking for the Uber, meaning over this framework, trying to get faster, get moving, keeping pushing. It's like you're inside a box and you're trying to move inside the box, but still you're in a box.
Right.
You need to break the box and see that there's more. That doesn't mean by no means that the frameworks or the methods are wrong. They are correct in a specific environment. But when we change towards something that cannot be a cause-effect environment, then we're talking about other type of outcomes. And most probably it's what you have been seeing for the past years, over 70% failures on implementations. So that's basically why.
Well, you definitely used the example that really hit hard, because being a consultant, there's been so many times I'm flying from one city to another city and navigating their subway system or their bus systems to get to airports like JFK in New York or
right.
Dallas in DC area. You have to plan out and you have to think of multiple options.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really important for leaders to understand that this outcome is really the best focus, and you cannot maintain a simple plan from A to B without the possibility that something may go wrong.
True. Yeah. That's basically the situation. And now you have taken something that I didn't mention, but actually is that's where things would or should start, maybe if they become quite disorganized, if you want to see it from a term in terms of predictability. And that is the leadership.
Mm.
Now, I do have a lot of questioning in terms of the current teaching methods for all the, let's say, dimensions that we have spoken, because none of them take really serious in terms of the impact, the culture, or the leadership. And let me go a little bit deep on this. Now, in terms of time, now let us talk about COVID, which is something trending for everyone. I'm getting so bummed with webinars around COVID every day. I'm getting pissed just to get in LinkedIn, you know?
Right.
But okay, so let's take this for example. You can have a lot of predictability and planning and stuff, and maybe you are hyper performance and you're in a pretty nice, mature, let's say, area or structure or even organization. COVID is unpredictable, so it changes. It has changed. It's very important because we are living that now. So that means that you go into a chaos. You don't know what's going to happen. I don't know either. So we need to do trials to shoot where? To a certain state. Are we certain about it? No. So this is basically the lean startup. So aim small, fail small, learn fast, and pivot, right? But there's one trick here. So I'm not going to preach anything within the theories. I think that there are a lot of people very well seasoned on this one for the past 10 years. The thing here is, what are we going to be aiming for? Mm-hmm. And more on that, who is going to take charge? Now, imagine this type of thing. You can talk about Scrum or Safe or whatever. It doesn't matter which one, because this is not pointing fingers. And actually, this is not what I'm going for. But everything within the Agile values and Lean, let's say, roots, go in terms of collaborating and going very much kumbaya with everybody and sharing and stuff, right?
Right.
What about if the leader doesn't give a crap about it and it's just task authoritative based? And you're telling him, which by the way, this type of leadership is based not only on more structural or BPO type of enterprises. This, we are talking about at least 70% of human beings in adulthood are in this area. That means that they either have three options within. Either they do complacence, so I'm not going to shout out or everything because my interpretation of myself, my own value depends on what others think about me. So I really care about you, so I'm not going to put you down. Let's wait for it and let's go. Meaning if you're a leader of a team. So that means that your trust and your credibility goes down. So you will never push someone towards the edge in terms of, you know what? This is something that we were waiting for. You're not making it. What can we do? But you work together. It's not to point the finger. So that's one lacking one. The other one is the controlling one. So I'm like Sheldon Cooper. I know everything. You're a damn insect. You don't know crap. I'm going to help you because you're so dumb. And I get so oversaturated. I get overburdened. I get inefficient and hence my team as well. Plus everything is in terms of, I know you don't. So trust gets down again. And then the other one is, this is the, I call it the emperor. So this is just, you know, a power, absolute power. And basically what this guy wants is he gets his own. It's either my way or the highway, dude. I have the power. I got the knowledge. My work defines me. I work every time, all day, because without my work, I don't know who I am. So all of these guys are in the, let's say, the basic Flintstone stage of leadership. And by the way, this is 70% of the adult population. Right. This is a stage of reaction. Because from a cognitive side, that means that they are defending themselves. So if someone wants to attack you, you're not going to share your thoughts or try to, I don't know, hug him. You're gonna run like Forrest Gump the hell out, and you are not going to be taking care of whether or not he's going to have a, I don't know, a bruise or something. Maybe he falls down. You don't care. It's your life.
I call that like the defense mechanism that most people have.
basically. I like calling in these movies the Croods. I don't know if you have seen them. That's like these cave dudes actually that just live inside of a cave.
Right.
They never get out. So the cave is your mind that's constraining you. This is pretty much the Matrix in by under other perspective. So your leadership is going to be constrained by your rationalization, so your consciousness. And the type of leadership is going to be directly related towards your performance. So if you are not very much developed in terms of consciousness, so you're very defensive, very reactive, you depend on others to define you because you haven't evolved that part, then you're going to treat others like so. And when an implementation or a solution comes telling you that everything that you believe, which actually constitutes your identity, is wrong, what do you think is going to be the reaction from the leader? Hmm. It's pretty straightforward, right? But nonetheless, we don't talk about it. We just go and push because that, yeah, it doesn't matter. It will come. Let's create a small area, and from that we start growing. Start somewhere. Yeah, but if the structure is not there and it's not happening, it's gonna fall. And then again, there are 13 years of reports on this matter, and the data is not decreasing. So I think that that's quite relevant, because if you see from an economic perspective, that's a lot of money being lost.
It's a whole lot. It's a whole lot. And you can just imagine the power of success or failure that these leaders have in place. And if they're not very open to the way that their mindset is running, it could definitely affect and affect the rest of the team.
Yeah. And the problem is actually that you just triggered that word, so mindset. I kind of get a little bit, I don't know, the chills when that one, because within Agile, mindset is referred as the Agile mindset. And it kind of resounds as if it's actually a part of something that it is there that kind of lives by itself. Though from a neuroscience approach and psychological point of view, the mindset is not just that, is a way lot more, and by the way, it's way more complex. Mm-hmm. So complex. The mindset, by definition, is a state that you have on a specific time frame. Mm-hmm. That means that it will change? Yes. So can it be evolution or modified? Sort of. The only one who has access to it is you. Is it this dichotomical position? No, because the group has some inference on that one. Mm-hmm. We have something called mirror neurons, and that's actually how cubs and babies survive. So when you want to teach your kid, you smile and open your mouth so that they do the same, so they mirror you. When you smile, they smile. If someone starts smiling out on the street, probably others will start going like that. The trick here is that the emotion needs to be not too much crazy and has to comply with the social traits of the culture. What do I mean by that? If I start laughing like the Joker and then dancing out of the street and then crying and then, I don't know, go to sleep on the floor, a lot of people might think that I'm pretty crazy, because I don't comply with the culture rituals. So that's something to take under consideration. The emotions are very important, because those are the door locking or opening towards rage. We are human beings that love chaos. And actually, our cells tend to chaos. And I know that that sounds pretty done wrong. There's an area called epinephrine, not the epinephrine, which is actually not adrenaline, epinephrine. The epinephrine framework is actually that constrains our cells to remain together.
Right.
Without that, we turn into chaos. So the best example is cancer, okay? And this is research for the past 3 or 5 years on epigenetics. So what is this related to? We can actually build new neurons and kill the old ones. So as the same in aligning this to the mindset, we can change the neural ways of our thoughts by creating new paths. And in order to do so, we need to be on the right track of emotion, because if not, then the epinephrine shuts down and we unleash our own Godzilla to defend us. And that means that you are not going to listen to anything, because your IQ goes very way down, and then you go into a basic approach. Like, that's why they call it reptile brain. So you become an animal, actually. And there's a trick here. So everything within the brain has a lot of tricks, though. Nothing is absolute. Can you bend that? Yes, of course. How? And this is the coaching part. Habits. Micro habits. Yeah. If you enter with micro habits that actually go in a cyclic iterative time frame for some period of time, considering their values, their group, their tribe, and the culture. So that means that the person will stick, because otherwise he will go away and there's no point on it. Then he will start considering adopting those habits, and those habits will become the main frame of the reptile work.
Right.
So the more habits you have when you are in a safe defense mechanism, then your IQ will be a little bit higher. And that means that when another COVID, when another problem comes, your capability to catch the cap or other situations, because you have new habits into decision-making, problem solutions, new paths built, will be better. And if you consider that and know that you might have some constraint, then you will start listening to others, because others will have other ways of finding solution. But together, you will become one nice big-ass transformer in order to get to that desired state. So that's basically a wrap-up of of everything.
No, it's a lot, but it's so true. I mean, I think of even when I'm coaching executives nowadays, if they're not in a right mindset, then that really affects the whole culture of that organization or that company.
No
matter how much they think that it's, you know, implementing Agile, implementing Scrum or Kanban, you know, you can do it by getting people in and starting a team. There's like that neural part, that mindset part that really is effectuous. If you're not smiling and you're frowning all the time, that will infect the rest of the team.
Yeah. It's something that most people don't see as an important, because they even call it soft skills and stuff. But then again, the most obvious things are the ones that have the major impacts.
Exactly. Wow. I swear that you just probably unloaded a lot of knowledge to a lot of people. It's something that it's very much not looked at from a high level. No one thinks to say, hey, can you coach us to think better, to understand how we affect our culture or the people that, you know, are under us. And it's important, like you said, you're forming micro habits.
Yes.
And if pressure happens, and if those micro habits aren't well established, then they will revert back to their old waterfall mentality.
Yeah, for by all means, because that's the safe spot. So that's the cave. That's their cave. That's the safe spot. That's where mommy is. So, yeah. That's then again, it's survival nature. So we are wired like that. So I know that a lot of people might try to deny this, but then again, that's only the first stage toward losing something. Right. Denial.
If more people wanted to get information about your research, about the cognitive neuroscience that you're pursuing, where can they find you on social media or any readings?
Yeah, I kind of make a lot in terms of my blogging at joaondasilva.com, and I'm releasing actually the Agile Donkey in 2 or 3 weeks. I think that we're starting with Dave Snowden. Yeah, we're going to start a webinar in, I don't know, maybe in 2 or 3 weeks with Dave and start kicking it from a cognitive side and more applied into lean and agile from this perspective. And I'll be doing a lot of blogging on YouTube and basically in Twitter and on LinkedIn for the blogging. So probably people could look on that one if they want.
Okay, well, great. Again, I'm very much appreciative of you joining. Like I said before, a lot of things to think about you've just shared with us, but very important things that really can bring success or failure to an agile journey for an organization. Definitely would like to bring you back for more conversations on this and other topics as well.
Sure. I'm sorry. It was, it's a lot of to take in just a small percentage of time, but hopefully it might help somebody on that one.
Thanks for listening to An Agile Mindset. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to the show and leave a rating or review. We love your feedback. To hear more episodes of An Agile Mindset, visit Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, or SoundCloud, or head to perimeterdesigns.com/podcast.